Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell. Welcome to Business Matters. Later in the podcast, I'll be talking to Eamon McFadden, founder of Glass Mountain Digital Media Agency. My first guest this week is Aidan Friel, co-owner of the Narra Quarter in Kerrykeel. The award-winning eatery was established in 2018 after 2.5 years of planning.
So we opened in April of 2018. Before that, then, as you say, there was nearly 2.5 years of planning behind that again. So the idea kind of first came to us in about 2015, 2016, when we kind of seen an open for somewhere to eat within the village. So it's myself and John McDay that own it. And whenever we were living in Kerrykeel, we kind of always found ourselves running to Letterkenny or running to different areas just to get a bite of lunch. So we kind of said, like, surely we couldn't be the only two in that position. So the more we thought about it, the more we said, you know what, there actually might be a proper opening for it. And we've done a lot of market research. We looked into tourism figures, even things like traffic flow figures. So that's where really the idea started and where we took it from there, more or less. So we went up to the local enterprise office in, and they kind of gave us pointers as to where to start.
Identifying a building and identifying a location was the next step in that process?
Yeah, I suppose because I'm from Kerrykeel myself, I kind of always wanted to try and do something in that area. So we did get a premises. It was actually family owned. So we kind of asked, could we get the use of that for a few years to see, can we make a go of something? And as I said, then because it was Kerrykeel, it was kind of even better just to get doing something locally in your own area. And we get great support from our local community as well.
Yeah. Passing trade and local trade combined seem to be the key to your success, Aidan.
Yeah, that was actually, interestingly, that was one of the things we looked at whenever we were starting up and whenever we were kind of planning. We looked at traffic flow figures through the village. Now, as you know yourself, Kerrykeel is a small place, but there's a tremendous volume of cars that travel through it. So we kind of took it in percentages. We said if you could stop 1% of all that traffic that went through the village, how many customers would you get a day? And then we looked at maybe 2%. It's only a very small volume or a small number of cars that go through it, but it's amazing the amount of customers you can get from just passing trade.
I wonder at a TripAdvisor award, which is nice to have, good for business and good to have a trademark.
Yeah, Kieran, it's nice to get any kind of recognition at all. So to get something on a platform as well known as TripAdvisor is great. So we got the Traveller's Choice Award this year. And it really just runs from the amount of reviews you get, the amount of recent reviews you get, and are they from travellers or visitors to the area. So we're doing quite well in that regard.
Yeah. Online is becoming a big part of business, and obviously online reviews is a big part of your business now.
Yeah, you're open to criticism from all angles. We have Instagram and Facebook as well, but so far the feedback online has been really positive, so we're delighted with that.
In relation to your menu, what have you to offer, Aidan?
Yeah, so we're predominantly daytime based. So we open in the morning time and we do breakfast until noon, and then we kind of switch over and we have an all-day menu. So the big focus from a food point of view for ourselves is to have as much locally sourced produce as possible, and to make everything as homemade as we possibly can. So nearly everything on our menu actually is made in-house itself.
Kerrykeel is a busy town at the moment.
Yeah, well, if you look at, I suppose, where Kerrykeel was in the last few years and look at where it is now, there's a big improvement. As I said before, it's by no means a big town, but it's definitely improved in the last few years. We've gained an awful lot. Most recently, we've gained a dog groomers and a Turkish barbers and a car repair garage. And if you look at what we lost in the recession, we're definitely back up and strong.
Your business was closed for 3 months. How did you find that?
Yeah, I suppose 3 months closure whenever you're only open 2 and a bit years was scary at the beginning, to be honest. You didn't really know how it was going to pan out or how you were going to recover from it. But I suppose the only thing that really kept us going through it was knowing that everyone was closed and every business was in the same boat. Okay. So from a personal point of view, we found the lockdown itself tough in the beginning. It took a few weeks to get into that routine of actually not having the pressures of work standing over the top of you all the time. After a few weeks then, we kind of realised that, okay, we are going to get back up and running again at some point. So we put our focus on trying to resolve a few small issues that we knew we had within the business ourselves. And now, they were only minor things, but they were things that we knew were possibly holding us back. So we've changed a few things behind the scenes and just the way we do things, really.
Okay. And how important have those changes been?
Yeah, everything we've kind of implemented so far is working quite well. A lot of the changes, I suppose, stem from the fact that you have to include social distancing and incorporate hand sanitizer into your daily life and routine now, so it's no different from a business perspective.
You have a very good team, Aidan, and Kerrykeel.
Yeah, fantastic. And to be honest, only for them, we wouldn't be where we are today. We have 12 employed just at the moment. That's a mix of full-time and part-time. But no, they're all, everyone works really hard and we all pull together really well down there.
Was catering always your thing?
No, funny enough, my background would have been engineering. So actually I studied in IT Carlow, done aeronautical engineering down there. And I worked for a while then, kind of around Ireland and in the UK and parts of Europe. But I kind of always had that longing to come home, but I just didn't know what I was really wanted to do. So I kind of cast my mind back to what did I enjoy doing. And in between college and secondary school, I was always in the hospitality sector, working part-time jobs. And it's something like I really enjoyed. So it's nice to be able now to say that you've come back and you've tried something, but it wasn't for you. And now I'm comfortable where I am.
And the plans going forward for yourself, Gary Keel, in the business?
I suppose, yeah, we're always planning. We're always thinking about how we can improve things, make things maybe a bit bigger or better. For the moment, I think, because there's talks off recession and things possibly sliding back a little bit, we're going to stay probably as we are. But there's always plans there to do a bit more, and there's always a strive for improvement.
That was Aidan Friel from the Nara Quarter in Kerrykeel. Earlier this week, I travelled to Chrysler to catch up with Emma McFadden, founder of Glass Mountain Digital Media Agency. After many years as a full-time journalist, Eamon is still getting used to a new working environment.
Yeah, yes, I suppose it's a new dawn now at this stage with having a van or commercial vehicle. You know, this is what it's the new reality of it now. It was different when you were zipping around as a journalist, you know, going from place to place and that there, but zipping around in a slightly different mode now. But that's the tools of the trade you have to have now. You know, it's more helpful to have a van for that, because you need to be able to react to what your work environment is a bit more now, you know. So and because I do a bit more sort of digital media production rather than just sort of out and out writing anymore, you have to have some space to take your lighting equipment and your backdrops and your different things, anything you need to go out and meet people like that there when you're doing a wee bit of work for people. So that's where the van is now. So it's a bit of a far cry from zipping all around the county to cover football matches or court sittings or any council meetings and things like that. But it's different now. You still get a good appreciation of going out and about, particularly when you're business focused. You realise that there's a lot of people doing really good work out here. You know, rural Donegal is not an easy place maybe for people to be based or whatever, and people do it for different reasons. Some do it by choice, some just out of necessity and they have to do it. But there's everyone I've encountered, I have to say, even with me, if I was thinking purely journalistically, they still have a great story to tell. And I suppose maybe it's trying to pick up that what they're doing now and maybe making it slightly more sales focused and slightly more business focused for them. And that's what I've turned Glass Mountain Digital Media into. It's an agency to kind of help people share their story, share it in print, share it audio, share it in video, share it through motion design and graphics, that type of thing. And it's a way of getting it out there. But the very definitely the change would be from the journalism side of things, is where you're just telling the story for the sake of telling the story to share with people. This is doing sort of the same thing, but really and truly it's sales focused, it's business focused, it's to help business convert more business for themselves. But I think having the background in journalism, it lends a wee bit of authority to what you do. And, you know, you don't have to, you know, there's no gimmick in it, really. If somebody has a decent story to tell about what they're doing, people should do that. And that's ultimately what we do through different mediums.
Okay. Journalism, as you said, is your background. And obviously, when you committed journalism full-time 3 years ago, you decided to go full-time with the job that you're in now.
Yeah, they was after, I think it was 12 or more years working full time as a journalist, and primarily print, but more and more online as that got on. And that's where I had a kind of a grow for it, and I kind of enjoyed that as much as print, although I still love both, you know. And so, yeah, redundancy came calling, you know, and it was at a strange time for me, because I had been sort of thinking that it's slightly getting a little more precarious here, and in some ways maybe I should upskill. I wasn't new to adult education before, because my original background was in electronics, and I did that for a number of years, and I enjoyed it. I worked for some very, very good companies in that, but I didn't have a natural grow for it. It was a bit of, I had other interests, shall we say. And when I was in my late 20s, I actually went back to full-time education and studied a degree in communication, culture and media studies. And that was over in England. And that's when I kind of hit my stride, really. I couldn't get over for someone who maybe wasn't that scholarly in the earlier years. This was a great opportunity to do something that was enjoyable, and I really went with it. And I graduated with a degree, an honours degree in communications, and that set me on the path then to kind of more of the media work. And I got a job as a journalist, working under some incredibly tough editors, including yours truly here. And we had great times working that, and that was a great experience. You know, we all worked together, and there was great teamwork in that as well. You know, but we were all aware that the media landscape was changing. The old school, older school sort of one way media systems that are out there were changing. You know, your papers and your radio, all of a sudden now you can open up a whole new realm of engagement with online, with through social media and things like that. So that's what led me to focus on that a little bit. So a few years ago then, I went back to education again, thinking what could be something that would benefit what I've done, because I have a reasonable background now in print journalism and copywriting and that type of thing. I had some video making before as well, and that I had good enough tools there. So the next thing for me was to try and see where could I maybe add a bit of value to that for both myself and any potential clients coming down the line. So I went and studied for a master's degree in motion graphic design at Letterkenny Institute of Technology. So I took that on part-time while I was working full-time, and that was challenging, as it, I suppose it should be. Anything worth doing generally is tough. And it was nearing the end of that where it was becoming a bit of a struggle actually to manage a busy workload and all of that, that where the redundancy came. And it actually, the good grace was that it allowed me the time when I had finished working in the newspaper, just those few extra months to finalize my studies. So it was maybe teetering on the brink of maybe having not been finished had that happened. So that was a good thing. So I spent the first few months of redundancy just focusing on that to get it out of the way. And that was it. So then I had no job and I was looking around, and I had taken a little bit of time out just to give a bit of a breather to see what was going on for me personally, and what was going on in the work landscape and the media landscape, and where did I want to be and what did I want to do. And in the back of my mind, I suppose it was always that I would maybe prefer now to start working for myself, because I was born and reared into a self-employed family. Like my father, John, he ran McFadden Brothers Garage down in Fakara for many years. Many people probably know that, along with his brother, Jared. Mum ran a bed and breakfast over the summer months. So, like, we were always knew that the value of the bit of work or whatever you needed, you knew you had to work for it. You didn't ever get anything handed to you, you know, because we were lucky in that sense that on Saturdays and on the summer holidays, we would skip off down to the garage with Dad to pump petrol and fix punctures and, you know, clean cars and all that type of thing, you know. And my sisters would work with Mum in the bed and breakfast. So we had, you know, I think Mum got the better end of the deal, obviously, because they were a bit more switched on to the bed and breakfast trade than me and maybe my brothers were to the garage trade at that time. But so I'd definitely give you a good grounding, you know, to know that, you know, money just doesn't grow on trees. You have to get out there and you have to, you know, you have to conduct yourself in a manner too. You know, you have to carry yourself that, you know, have a better, you know, work with people, have a better respect, grow your reputation and try and, you know, do good work for people, and hopefully that'll come back to you. And so I think I'd certainly had good guidance in that from my parents, you know. So that's where the move to start out on my own was. And the next step then was to start, got in touch with the local enterprise office. I had just had a look around. Fortuitously, they had a start your own business Kickstarter course, which was very helpful. It was effectively just 2 days, and you go in and you sit down with someone who's an experienced business mentor, thrash out your idea. He puts you under a little bit of pressure to see, is there a gap in the market, and the market and the gap for what your services are, and also the kind of realities of what you might face if you're going to start into working for yourself. And that really kind of, I suppose, Kickstarter been a good name for it. It did kickstart me into thinking, well, I think this is something I could do, because I think now I have enough skills acquired. I had enough diplomas and degrees in the bag. I had a decent amount of experience, and I thought, you know, now is the time to maybe kick on from there. And from after a two-day course, I signed up to a kind of a more intensive boot camp. I think that ran for 6 days, spread it over a sort of number of weeks. And that's where I'm very fortuitously fell in with a bunch of really nice people who were also in the same boat as me, people looking to start up their own business. There was everything from gymnastics clubs owners, financial advisors, a dog coach, you know, helping people coach them with their dogs and things like that. There was a lot of variety and everybody had really good, and they all had similar stories to tell, you know, that, and it was just a good thing to have done. And this is all done under the guidance, actually, of Thomas Cullen, who was our mentor for that. He was very helpful in guiding and shaping it out. And ultimately, that was to at the end of that was to leave you with a little mini business plan that you had a kind of a clear idea what was involved, you know, have a look at how you're going to manage your finances and where you're going to be to.
Were you much more confident that your project would be successful having gone through that process?
Yeah, definitely, because it would have been a bit of a disaster having to maybe launched into it blindly, maybe just had, you know, watched a couple of videos on YouTube and read a book. But this is a bit more sort of, how would you say, real. You know, it's battle-tested. Like, they don't play around with this, you know. Like, you mean your numbers will become the thing that you have to look at. Is there a market there for what you want to do, or is it just a flight of fancy that you want to be? You know, particularly something that's slightly into the creative sector, you know. I think that's where maybe having that wee bit of maturity from before. It's not creativity for the sake of creativity. It's actually business-focused creativity and helping people, you know, and that was helpful. And when you have people kind of quiz you and grill you, and not in any mean-spirited way, is it, you know, a challenging way that, you know, just literally, you're better to know these things than not know them, that all of a sudden, you know, what would you, if you were going to do X amount of work, what would it be? What would you charge for that? And you would, initially, as people would say, you know, they quite undervalue what they do. And that means that you'll not have a viable business at the end of the day. But the good thing is, I've found since I've started with business, like you create a fair price structure for what you deliver. People in business will know that. They're professional people. They know how the pricing works. So they'll know if it's super cheap. Is it necessarily the best thing? Most likely not. You know, they don't want to be paying astronomical things either. So it was even just, how do you arrive at where do you get like that? How do you manage your books? How do you network? How do you get on board? And as I say, the practice of business networking through start your own business. Now, we'd started off, but I still keep in touch with all those people now. Some of those people have done business with me. I have done work with some of those people. It's been, you know, that's been very helpful. And from there, it's been fleshed out and you do get to meet. And I suppose being in a digital creative agency is what I am, I suppose. It's actually getting, we tend to have to work alone a lot, so that's a little bit isolating in some ways. So even to get to go out and meet a client for a cup of tea and have a chat, even though their businesses could be anything, you know, it's just good to network and get you out of it, you know. So that's still it makes it the very enjoyable still, you know. So so we're almost almost 2 years into business now, and the lights are still on and the show's still on the road and the van's on the road. So.
Glass Mountain Digital Media Agency. Glass Mountain obviously rings very, very true, and there's a very big meaning in there when it comes to the name of Glass Mountain.
Yeah, the Glass Mountain thing came around from, I'm based here in Creaseland. The first thing you look at every morning when you look out the door is Muckish. You know, it's been there all of our lives, what have you. And a number of years ago, it's actually about 8 years ago now, me and a group of friends here in Creaseland, we got together and we ended up, we made a documentary about the Muckish mine, the silica mine, when it was still going there, because we had the good fortune to come across a lot of old footage from the late 40s and early 50s when the mine was an active mine. And we ended up turning that into a thing called Glass Mountain, the story of Muckish sand. And it was a brilliant project just to work on. And it was one of them times when I stepped onto the ladder of not just being a kind of a print journalist, but kind of a writer and director of video as well. And that's where it came around. So I wrote and directed that, and as I said, made it with a number of friends here. It was very well received. It's up on YouTube now for people. If they want to go and look, just put it into YouTube, Glass Mountain, the story of Muckish Sands. A few thousand views on it now, which is, you know, considering it's a few years after we've made it, you know. But that's the first time I took digital media or video production a little more seriously. And so now through things like that, then the projects. And so I would say that's where I've been able to elevate to a better standard of video production now as well. So coupled with the writing background, you know, you can, it's a good combination now. And it's not just to say creativity for the sake of it, it's for impactful storytelling, emotive storytelling. And that translates perfectly into the business world now, because it's a crowded place. There's a lot of people out there, but I think authenticity and quality still rises to the top. You know, that's, as I say, these businesses in Donegal, I think, and the ones outside of there that I'm working for, they all have a great story to tell. You know, the motto of the company is to share your story, grow your business. It may sound a little simplistic, but there's ways of doing that, you know, and it's a culmination of good quality copywriting, good quality video production. You can augment it with social design, motion graphics, motion design, photography, other things like that as well. So that's what we try and do. We try and offer somebody a bit of a package of that. And as I say, the difference is that now we're much more business focused and sales focused when we'd sit down with a client to make sure, to see where they would like to bring this and what they'd like to generate and what action they would like to see from it. That's, you know, that's more over than just telling the story. We need to point it and now those terms. And so when the viewers and the consumers of this are looking at it, you know, they're not, you know, they're getting to the nub of what's important and what this company can do for you, you know. So that's been interesting. That's been enjoyable to try and sort of slightly pivot the content in terms of that. So that's the main focus.
A strange year, obviously, 2020 with the COVID.
Yeah, COVID was like everybody. It was it seemed like a slow burner that ended up just exploding in the end, because we all had known about it and we'd all watched it. And of course, being somebody who was relatively new to business, you're like, oh, wow, what's going to happen here, you know? But thankfully, we've been quite fortunate for that, because the support we get, I still keep on a small amount of freelance journalism every week. So I do a little bit of work with the Tyrconnell Tribune, which is very helpful. And that means that they're still serving their readers. They serve their readers all throughout the COVID. So that was good. They stuck with that and we kept working for it, you know. And then in terms of my own work, I thought, oh, wow, this could maybe, it means that possibly the work could really dry up here. It did actually. It was immediately two of the major projects that I had sort of planned had gone. I was like, oh, wow, there we go. This is the start of it. So we may have to just get ready to pivot or squirrel away for a little while here. But actually, with the just through a bit of networking and that, the local enterprise and the DLDC have been very, very helpful in this, I have to say, and that they offered the business continuity grant, which I availed of myself and also engaged with to help another company, which was very good. I know they also reappraised their trading online voucher, which is something that I've seen and worked with a number of people on now as well, because it does cover the content people are getting, because it covers if you're going to trade online, you can build a website. There's an augmented grant where you can actually help with more marketing and more materials. So that's been very helpful as well. And that kind of fell into line with COVID, that everybody realized that everything's available online. And if you're not online, COVID certainly pulled that into perspective for everybody, because if you can't physically open your doors, yet you have a nice product or products in your shop, where's the next likely place to go? It has to be online, and people are engaging on it there. There's a big online spend, and I'd seen that before, but COVID has really put that in. And I think even in the terms of somewhere that, like rural places like Donegal, now everybody knows that you can get what you need online, and you don't have to buy it from the bigger retailers across the world. You know, if you know you were looking for something and somebody local is selling that, you know, all the things are there for you to just chip in, buy it, get it delivered to your door, and you're still supporting a local business. So the number of people that I could see have been exploring that trading online voucher, and even just things outside of there, that has come back to me a little bit, because you get a few phone calls saying, listen, I was thinking of getting online. I was thinking of maybe diversifying a bit. And so we can help and advise people, you know, what's the strategy for maybe getting a retail section to your website that maybe wasn't there before. Now, does your sales message back up what your new retail section is? This is where you need to have a look at. And this is maybe a bit more where I would come in, that you can say, well, your message is very authentic. You need to maybe just structure it a little bit more for the sales benefit that you offer. And so that's where I've been working with people now, you know, and that's been across the board on a lot of different, from the technology sector to the data sector to the kind of craft and leisure sector. So it's again, quite diverse, you know, so it's but while they're all quite diverse, the principles apply to each of them, you know, and that's where we come in.
The future looking bright for Glass Mountain Digital Media.
Yeah, I would hope so, Kieran. That's, we're certainly in the zone now where it's challenging times all around. But we work and keep working hard and keep networking, keep going out there. Thankfully, there's the work is there and we're really happy to do it. And of course, we're looking to grow like any other business in the county. You know, it's funny, you know, you're saying about how you know, I just recently got into my van and all these things that you do have to have when you're in a workforce, you know, like my little tiny cubbyhole office here in the house, you know, hopefully that'll expand in the next year or two. But ultimately, I'd be like anybody else. I would like for business and Donegal in particular to really, really be able to compete with anybody else. That's what I would online. This is the sphere. I think we're, you know, Donegal's the coolest place on the planet, and I think if you can put a bit of that into all the clients that I work with to really share their message, I think they can really reach out and share their work all over the world, and that's where it is. I hope to grow in tandem with all of them, and ultimately I suppose if my work with them is successful, I'll be successful. That's the way I look at it. So it's not a case of you do the work for them and you walk away. You know, you really have a vested interest in that their work is successful for them. You know, keep focused with them, work closely with them, and if they get the results, I get the results, and so hopefully the future is bright. But we have to keep plodding on anyway.
Okay. Finally, when you're not working, you're fond of getting out on the surf. I see two surfboards in the back of the van, so it's not all work even in Chrysler.
Well, maybe there is the odd chance to get out. You know, it's not just surfing the internet all the time as well. You know, we're blessed to have. The waves that we have here pretty much on our doorstep here. I thought that initially when I started working for myself, I'd have more time to do this. But because you could say, I'm my own boss and I can go, but actually it's probably less. But the fact is that it's so close to us, we can still get the dip the toe on every now and then, and it keeps you active and gets you out of the house a wee bit as well. So working from largely on your own now, come from like a busy, vibrant place like a newspaper office, which is always, as you know, is the crack is always mighty, the banter's flying, the rows are great crack, and we all enjoyed it. But then you have to take it back and, you know, distill all that, and you just work from home. So it's good to just network and connect with people and have something outside of work as well. You have to have that too, you know.
Eamon, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for joining us on Business Matters.
That's it for another edition of Business Matters. I'd like to thank my guests, Aidan Freel and Eamon McFadden. Thanks to Kenneth Wilson on sound. And thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch, drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.